This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Texas, President Trump surveyed some of the destruction caused by flash flooding 1 week ago. 121 were killed, 160 still missing. Questions remain over the lack of local warning systems. ABC's Selena Wang says FEMA maps also did not indicate the severity of risk in some areas compared to insurance maps.
This isn't just a problem for Texas, but this is an issue nationwide. For instance, with Hurricane Helene and the aftermath in North Carolina, 95% of the homes were not in the FEMA flood zone and lacked flood insurance. Nationwide, FEMA maps do not take into account the impact of torrential rain and how that can cause inland flooding.
Military shipments have resumed for Ukraine after a brief pause. Officials say U.S. military and NATO officials now discussing a plan to provide Ukraine with much-needed aerial defense weapons, including Patriot systems, funneling it through the European alliance. And parts of Pennsylvania dealing with intermittent 911 outages today. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. For the third straight year, the Universities of Wisconsin system is increasing undergraduate tuition rates for its four-year campuses. UW schools will raise tuition by 5%, except for Green Bay going up by 4% and River Falls adding 5.8%. The announcement comes after the state's biennial budget provided $256 million in additional funding to UW. After a 10-year freeze on tuition increases, the UW system raised tuition by 5% in 2023 and 3.75% in 2024. The Board of Regents unanimously approved the increases. UW La Crosse is moving forward with plans to finish work on the Prairie Springs Science Center. The announcement this week came after $194 million was included in the state's biennial budget for the project. With the additional funding, UWL will add 30 new rooms, including classrooms and labs, to the Science Center. About half of UWL's student body is pursuing a degree in science, according to Chancellor James Beebe. All four of La Crosse's Democratic legislative members voted to approve the biennial budget last week. It was a busy La Crosse Common Council meeting Thursday. The council approved a development agreement for the former La Crosse Tribune building site to add 260 housing units and commercial space. Also approved was a measure to pay $115,000 for park and public space security on weekends, and another item to set aside $50,000 for legal fees related to the Town of Campbell's incorporation petition. Airport operating budget items and a measure to replace the La Crosse Center roof were also approved. La Crosse's Pathways Home program is receiving funding from a state grant. $350,000 was awarded to Pathways Home to hire a social worker and help with housing assistance, treatment plans, and supplies. The La Crosse County Board still has to approve the funding, which should run through 2027. The La Crosse Common Council, meanwhile, is delaying a decision for the Pathways Held Leases program due to a need for more landlords to join the initiative. They'll take it up again at August's meeting. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Brewer baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports at American Family Field, where the Brewers open a three-game weekend series against the Washington Nationals. Manager Pat Murphy making a slight change in the lineup. He started D.L. Hall on the mound before bringing in Quinn Priester, and another pitcher, Tobias Myers, has been called up from Nashville, while Aaron Ashby is placed on the paternity list. I'll have a recap after the game. NBA in Las Vegas, the Bucks introducing their new center, Miles Turner, who talked about why he decided to leave the Pacers for Milwaukee.
For me, you know, ultimately it was about just staying competitive. 2 years ago, we got to the Eastern Conference Finals. Obviously, last year we got to the finals. But, you know, being there, being part of it, winning basketball has just changed my entire perspective on this league. And, you know, John, even Doc, has assured me that, you know, winning is the top priority here.
Bucks GM John Horst.
This is a big day. Big day for the Bucks. Huge day for our city. This is a monster, impactful move and piece for us in towards doing that. And not only for this season, but seasons go forward.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels.
Mostly cloudy for tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms with lows in the mid-60s. Early storms, then turning mostly sunny, less humid tomorrow, high near 80. Sunshine and dry weather continues on Sunday with highs in the low to mid-80s.
Right now it's 73.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app, Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we go beyond the cheese with the Canine Convoy based in Oconto. We're talking Dog Bus. Join us.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes to talk trash, but only when he's at the dump, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. We are finally on the air, ready to talk about all the things that will help us ease into a holiday weekend and make your transition that much easier. Assuming you have the day off tomorrow. We do. If you don't, is tomorrow, people don't automatically get the third off, do they?
No, I don't believe okay. So.
I had to beg for it off, but I'm not above begging. Either way, great to have you with us here on this, our last live show until next Tuesday night. I'll be back next Tuesday night. Conrad will be back next Wednesday night. He needed an extra day off to decompress from his leisurely weekend. You got big plans?
Yeah. I'm going to see some friends in Beaver Dam.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But we're also going to, we are also going to Madison, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to stay at, funny enough, the Concourse.
The world-famous Concourse, a fine establishment.
And just tear down the night, you know, on State Street.
Where are you going to go? Where on State Street do you like to go? Have you been there recently?
This is my first time I've been able to drink, actually, and go on State Street. So,
God, you could do that. That would be like a legendary bar crawl if you just left the Concourse and walked to State Street, made a quick right, started with Paul's. Knicks, like you could go all the way down to the Union.
Yeah, and we're also doing this pedal boat thing where like it's like kind of like a bar on a boat.
Oh yeah,
and then you're sitting down at the bar seat and you pedal
on the water. Yeah. Like we see those here on the street in Green Bay, and they have them on State Street too.
Well, it's actually in the water, so it's gonna be fun to do that, I think.
Yeah,
and it's bring your own booze. So I'm bringing a cooler backpack,
okay,
and having some
brujas,
some stuff to nurse.
Nothing could go wrong when you mix alcohol with the water.
They stop in the middle, I believe, of Lake Minota.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then they're like, yeah, you can jump in if you want.
You can snorkel.
Okay. I don't know if you see much, but
maybe not. Well, that sounds like fun. I'm gonna chill out. I've got a lot of family coming to town. We're gonna hang out. It's gonna be fun. We're going to set up a little, my sister's going to set up her outside ping pong table.
Oh.
And we set up like tomorrow, since family's coming to town, I said, just come over after one. We'll have brats because we got to do one brat day a summer.
So we
figured it would be tomorrow. And we'll just keep brats going all day, you know, potato chips, potato salad, all that kind of stuff.
You know, potato
chips
salad.
Chips and guacamole. Yeah. Listen, I'm not a fan of it either, but. Whoever's making it, you can't say, please don't make potato salad. You just make it and you put it out there and you see what happens.
And then you just snarl at it every time you walk past it.
I give it a dirty look. You know what? Not as much as I do deviled eggs.
I love deviled eggs.
I know you do. We are, you know, I think we get along pretty well, but that's a sticking point between us, the deviled eggs. I can't do it.
I think they taste amazing. I like every single type of egg, so.
You like Eggs Benedict?
Oh, my God, I do.
The hollandaise sauce?
Oh, I love it.
Okay. Well, that's a topic for another show, I guess. But
you don't like Eggs Benedict? Come on.
It's okay. I like most eggs. I need my eggs cooked well. I don't like runny eggs. I don't like...
Oh, see, that's where we're different. I like them runny.
Scrambled?
No, I usually don't make scrambled eggs. I usually
You're
have
talking
over
about
easy.
Like the yolk.
I usually have over easy okay. so that I can have the yolk go on bread.
People dunk toast in the yolk.
Exactly.
That's so subversive.
You know what? So you know why I do that? So I don't have to put butter on my toast.
Why? What's the matter with that?
It's just not
a health thing.
Yeah, just not.
But
eating.
The yolk is not the good part of the egg, correct? Like the healthy part.
It's not terrible for you. It raises cholesterol, I think.
Probably. I mean, if you eat enough of it, but I don't know. That's a good.
I will have plain toast, nothing on it, and just dip
in
it.
The yolk.
Have the egg over easy egg on top of it.
I'm just saying, if I have to vomit, do you feel comfortable covering for a couple minutes? We got off on egg talk. You know, eggs
right.
should be part of the question at some point on our question of the night, because there's so much fun we could have with eggs. That came out wrong. So fun show tonight, folks. Glad you're here as we, this is the eve of the 4th of July. It's a holiday. Holiday is in the air everywhere. Everywhere I go around our neighborhood, it's so funny. Like I'm taking the day before the 4th off, but I still see other people rolling into town and it's like, they've already started. And I'm like, oh man, that sucks. But it's like, how many days can you take off really leading up to the holiday?
Hey, you can take 2 weeks off. How about that?
Take whatever I want, damn it. But it's going to be, I hope everybody has great plans and we'll party safely this weekend. We'll be talking tonight about a lot of fun things that you can do over the next week or two, but it's specifically on the 4th of July. There's a very big movie opening today. It's the latest chapter in the Jurassic World franchise, Jurassic Park Rebirth, or Jurassic World Rebirth, is it?
It's one. You know, that's a good question.
I literally just laid down the Hollywood beat for that, and I can't remember what it was. It's Jurassic Park. You're not going to pay for the wrong movie when you go in. You're not going to end up like in the Spinal Tap re-release. If you just say Jurassic, they'll know what you mean. But that opens today. Matt Miller will be here at 6:35 tonight. Our pal, the Milwaukee film critic who does such a great job, will be here and we'll talk about that big opening. He's seen Formula One. He's seen 28 Years Later. Matt is always fun to talk to. He will be here at 6:35. And then in hour number two, this will be fun too. My pal Wendy Schneider will be here. She is a record producer. I love saying that term. I know we don't really have records anymore. Oh, we kind of do. They're still vinyl. But Wendy is a great record producer and a great filmmaker, too. She's made a film about 10 years ago called The Smart Studio Story, which tells the story of Butch Vig and Steve Marker and how they started Smart Studios right out of Little Madison, Wisconsin, in a what's been called by Butch Vig what looks like a crack house at the corner of Baldwin and East Washington. Wendy will be here. She worked for Butch and Steve, and she made a film about all their great records that they produced at that little studio on East Wash. They produced, as I'm told, the Nevermind album for Nirvana, Smashing Pumpkins records. Butch and Steve are in the band Garbage, so they produced records there as well. They don't anymore. I think it changed hands about 10 years ago, or maybe even a little more. Anyway, Wendy did a great documentary called The Smart Studio Story. It won a host of awards about 10 years ago. The Atwood Music Hall in Madison is replaying the film July 9th, I believe, 1 week from tonight. So we'll talk to Wendy about the film, take her down memory lane a little bit, get you familiarized with a great movie, a great music documentary. Our pal Frank Anderson is all over that documentary. He's played with Butch and Steve quite a bit, and he's friends with Wendy too. So that'll be another fun interview. Two great guests tonight. And we've got a good question. What do you think? Should we get to the question, or is that just crazy?
Let's do it.
The question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite patriotic movie or song? Pretty straightforward. I think we just posted movie on social media, but I widened it a little bit to song. And I know a lot of people pick songs that aren't typically patriotic, but they sound like they should be, like Born in the USA, Fortunate Son gets a kind of a bad rap. people think it's anti-America. It's not really. It's just like anti-filthy rich people that don't go to war. But there are a lot of great patriotic movies. There's Saving Private Ryan, Platoon, if you like the war angle. Born on the 4th of July with Tom Cruise is listed as a popular one. I'd have to think of that. Even Blowout. I saw the movie Blowout listed in a lot of lists because they have a firework display. That's a movie with John Travolta where he hears something. He's a sound man on a film, and he picks up a little bit of sound that leads to him being embroiled in this caper. But there are a lot of great... And you know what? You can do whatever you want, folks, with this question. Jaws can be a patriotic film because it came out 50 years ago, right before the 4th of July. What's the one I just talked about with Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum? Not Enemy. I always want to say Enemy of the State. Independence Day.
Yes.
That is considered a very patriotic movie. So I really don't know what I'm going to say here. I've been thinking about this kind of on and off all day, and I forgot to finalize something right before the show. But I will give... Here's what... You know what? Never mind. I'm going to say this, and I've gone to this movie before in the past. Sandlot is my favorite patriotic movie because there's a scene in the movie with the 4th of July... where they play baseball under the fireworks, and Ray Charles is singing America the Beautiful. So there you go. Sandlot is my favorite patriotic movie. It's one of my favorite movies. And for song, I'm still going to say Born in the USA because I love Springsteen and because the song is not, it's not necessarily pro-USA, but it is in a way because the song kind of says, let's not get into BS wars. And that's a big thing right now, still to this day, 40 years later. So I'll say Born in the USA for my song. But you can give one or the other. And again, there are no right or wrong answers, folks. You can let us know what you think at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or you can text us on the app. Or if you're watching on the stream on X, Facebook, or YouTube, let us know there as well. You got one? Born in the USA. You know, it's kind of a pro-USA song in a weird way.
I'll say this is my favorite song.
This is a phenomenal tune.
And I would say Hacksaw Ridge.
Oh, wow. You know, I haven't seen that.
It's a fantastic movie.
Clint Eastwood, right?
Clint Eastwood. Vince Vaughn's in it.
Andrew Garfield, right?
Andrew Garfield, yes. Andrew Garfield, yep. It's a great movie. Yeah. Fantastic.
I gotta see that.
I saw it, I don't even know, probably like six years ago. And I just keep rewatching it every year because it's so good.
That's probably about when it came out, maybe?
Something around there, yeah.
Okay. So there you go, folks. That's tonight's question. Let us know what you think, and we will read your text on the radio like we do every night. I had a pretty good day overall. You ever do this, though? It was raining when I left Marinette, like bad, like the sky looked like black.
Yeah.
And I'm driving on Highway 41, and I drove out of the rain, and I bet my wipers were on for 20 minutes. Completely dry windshield. I must have looked like a lunatic.
I've done that. And you just like forget about it.
Totally spacing out. Yeah. I'm just looking for deer or other drivers. This is like a pleasant distraction. The wipers going back and forth. It didn't even bother me. But I do that more often than I probably should. And a lot of traffic out there, even today. Heading south.
Yeah.
I don't know where people are going. From the UP maybe or Marinette area. But also... According to LinkedIn, I'm on a roll.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what it says. I don't know what that means. That means they want me to up my subscription to premium, which I will not do. But I'm on a roll on LinkedIn, whatever that means. And I saw this, too. We can talk about this after the break. I sent this to you in chat. Did you see it was the GOAT from every sport?
Yes, I did see that.
So I thought that was interesting. Had Jordan on there, of course, Brady. But there's one I would maybe take issue with. I don't know, like girls tennis, they had Serena Williams on there. Someone said maybe Sharapova. I just don't know enough about tennis, girl or guy, to weigh in on that.
Would you take Babe Ruth out?
I thought about that. Because Babe Ruth, I don't think he played in the league when it was totally integrated. But I have a friend who says Babe Ruth should be the GOAT because he pitched too, and he was a good pitcher. Like, he did both. But I still think if you didn't play when the league was integrated, I don't know. I'm on the fence about
that. There's another one I disagree with. Muhammad Ali. It should be Jake Paul.
We're coming right back. This is Nightlight with Peach Baba on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Peach Waba.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hands a big win to the environment. The court ruled it's unconstitutional for a legislative committee to block rules created by state agencies. The decision means good environmental rules now face an easier path to getting to the finish line and becoming law. For years, legislative vetoes by a handful of legislators stymied a long list of environmental protections. After more than 30 years, the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program is going unfunded. Money for the legacy program was stripped out of the budget by the Joint Committee on Finance. The program helps preserve our state's wildlife areas and fisheries through land purchases and grants. Now that the budget has been signed, it's unclear how the vital program will continue, although there is talk of a standalone bill that would revive it. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin is brought on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Yeah. Oh!
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwaba. There is holiday cheer in the air. And I'm, of course, talking not about Christmas, but the 4th of July, right around the corner, our nation's Independence Day. Whatever you have planned, folks, have fun and party safely. We will be broadcasting on July 4th. What do we have on July 4th? We have the Best of Madison?
Yes. So
music.
Yes. It's going to be a lot of artists and some tunes that they do in studio.
Yeah. In Madison specifically, we've had some great guests there. And what else? What do you have tomorrow?
So tomorrow's just some great interviews and moments from 2025 so far.
A few laughs, yeah.
We're actually into the second half now of 2025.
Yeah. It's been a good first half. We'll try to keep the bar raised. And then next Monday, I will be out too. We have another
quiz,
our favorite quizzes we've given. And we've given some pretty good ones. People have so much fun with those. It's great when they come on.
One of my favorites was the movie quiz we did about the baseball movie quiz. And that was with Heather.
She did well, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. She didn't get my secret, the one that I had that was... I can't even remember who it was now.
Listen, she's a trooper. She took our friend's quiz and embarrassed herself. It was brutal. I'm kidding. But and she still came back and took another quiz. It was great. So we have, oh God, this is funny. I'm just reading these texts here. Before we get to the text, I do want to say, I don't know. I think Ali was the greatest boxer.
Really?
I do.
It's not Jake Paul?
It's not Jake Paul. I think Jake Paul might be the best boxer in his family. but I'm on the fence. What do you guys think? Babe Ruth? I don't know. I mean, I think if the league isn't integrated, it's tough to put him as the best ever. But he did pitch, too. That's his, I think that's his claim to fame. I love Hank Aaron. You could probably argue maybe Ricky Henderson. I don't know. But Brady's probably the GOAT. Jordan, although there's a lot of people underneath the Jordan, said Bron and Curry. They had Steph Curry over Jordan. It's a generational thing.
Yeah.
I disagree, but.
I mean, it's for our generation, it's tough because we didn't grow up watching.
Right.
You know, so the greatest players we've seen are the ones still playing, you know.
Correct. Growing.
So you automatically are like, oh, yeah, the ones that I've seen. It. But I still think it's Jordan.
I mean, Scottie Pippen posted something recently, and he said, hey, congrats. It was Oklahoma that won. He said, hey, congrats. He's sitting there with his six rings. He goes, congrats, Oklahoma, on a great Game 7 win. As a guy who's never been to a Game 7, I can imagine it must have been a lot of fun. No one ever took Jordan to a Game 7, and he played against the greats of his era. Gretzky, I think he's the great one, right? Tiger Woods, again, I'm not a golfer.
Tiger Woods.
Is he the greatest?
He's the greatest.
He's the GOAT. Okay. And then women's tennis, I looked up. There's someone I've never even heard of. Margaret Court?
Never heard of her.
Holds the record for most Grand Slam singles titles. She might be really old. Got Martina Navratilova. Well, you guys can weigh in on that, too. I'm getting a phone call.
I'm
going to take this. It's spam. So, all right. We got to our question of the night is, what is your favorite or what is the most patriotic movie, your favorite patriotic movie or song? So let's get to the stream. Let's start with the stream first. Dave Akunish says, Legends of the Fall, sticking with Brad Pitt. Dave just said Legends of the Fall to a question last week. What was that? A Brad Pitt movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, favorite Brad Pitt movie. Okay. That's a nice old country movie for patriotism. And again, folks, there are no right or wrong answers. Dave also says, All Quiet on the Western Front. John Boy crushed it. He did. It was a great movie. Due for a rewatch. I haven't seen that in ages. Rose Bauman. Hey, Rose. She says, hi, hun. I didn't know we were on hun terms, but I guess I'll have to have Rose back on the show now. How you doing, Rose? Great to hear from you. She says, Billie Jean King should have been in the women's tennis category. And I was going to suggest her, too, because she was so groundbreaking. I just don't know enough about women's tennis or hockey or soccer to really say who the GOAT is, though. But thank you for the suggestion, Rose. Great text. And going to the text line here, we've got Aaron Zomers. This is funny. Of course, he produces wonderfully the Todd Alba Show here on Civic Media. He says, I'm with Con on this one. Big egg guy here.
Yes.
It's just funny to talk about eggs because they also mean, you know, other stuff.
I mean, eggs are great.
I had on my list here, on my show list for last night, I still had balls under boob and butt written on the sheet. And I always used to love when I used to leave my stand-up notes around and my wife would see, she would see something like that and go, balls under boob and butt? What is the, I'm like, first of all, you're married to a comic. You should just assume that it has something to do with that. But it's funny when other people see the list. There we go. It's catchy. Got to put deodorant everywhere. And that's not just our favorite body parts, folks, that somebody wrote a song about. It's deodorant. They're trying to encourage people to put deodorant on every square inch of their body.
When we played it the other night two times, it was stuck in my head the rest of the night. I just kept, at 9 o'clock, I just start singing, balls under boob and butt.
So crazy. I wish you were on a first date. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, do you like green eggs and ham? Sure, if they're scrambled and not runny.
I don't think they're scrambled in the story.
Tyler going, little Dr. Seuss there. Tom from New Berlin says, Band of Brothers. Great choice, Tom. Excellent. A Playtone production. Outstanding. Todd or Billy from Billy says, for movie, I say Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. That was on a lot of lists today, too, when I was looking this stuff up. He says, for song, I say Rockin' in the Free World by Neil Young. That's what freedom is all about. That's great. Great text from the 414, Todd or Billy, if that is your real name. Names. Tom from New Berlin also says, Midway was so cool with CGI that it really shows the technology for the time, and it was a start in the Pacific campaign. Well said, Tom. Excellent. Oh, I love this one. 715 says, movie Stripes, song American Girl by Tom Petty. Stripes, how did I forget Stripes? Keep the text coming, folks. What's your most favorite patriotic movie or song? We're coming right back with Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller at Speech Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sing aloud because people.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. New details have been released about three deaths that happened earlier this week, including one in Vernon County. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
We're learning more about the tragic circumstances around the death of a State Patrol Bureau director and a special education teacher. Dane County Sheriff Calvin Barrett released details this morning for the first time. It says David and Terry Pabst were found dead in their Middleton home on Tuesday. Their son's girlfriend spoke to the State Journal. She says he told her that, quote, everyone has to die. She says she called police and then authorities knew to look for 25-year-old James Pabst. The state patrol eventually found him in Vernon County, where authorities say he died by suicide after a standoff with police. Sheriff Barrett says they believe James shot and killed his parents late Monday night. WISC reports that WSDOT Secretary Christina Boardman sent an email to staff. David Pabst had nearly a 40-year career with the state patrol. He was the State Patrol Bureau of Transportation Safety director. The State Journal reports Teresa Pabst was a special education teacher and paraeducator at Cromery Middle School from 2017 to 2022.
According to Vernon County Sheriff Roy Turgerson, James Pabst took his own life after a standoff with law enforcement in Vernon County. One of La Crosse's public pools will be closed this weekend. The Veterans Memorial Pool will close this Friday through Sunday. According to city officials, the closure is because of staffing shortages. Two other city pools, Northside Community and Erickson, will remain open. Veterans Memorial is scheduled to reopen on Monday when the city can staff the pool. Admission to La Crosse's public pools is $5 per person. You can find out more information on pool hours and scheduled activities on the city's government website. While the main heavy rain threat has moved south of the Cooley region, we're still expecting some wet weather overnight. Today will be cloudy with highs in the mid-80s and chances of showers. Tonight, showers and storms could bring up to an inch of precipitation to some areas with more to the south. The weekend will see highs in the low 80s. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Mariska Hargitay has experienced an almost unprecedented run as an actor on the show Law & Order Special Victims Unit. And now she has a director's credit as well. She is the creative force behind a documentary about her late mother, Jane Mansfield, called My Mom Jane. The Hollywood Reporter is now saying the documentary will be eligible for the Oscars since it's been revealed that it had a short theatrical run at a North Hollywood movie theater last week. My Mom Jane is available to stream on HBO and is getting very good reviews. Sarah Jessica Parker feels she had to defend herself for not endorsing a political candidate publicly. The And Just Like That and Sex and the City star told Nicole Wallace on her podcast she didn't believe social media was the place for quick political conversations. To her credit, Parker says she's not going to go into an argument unless she is totally educated on an issue. Imagine that. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels.
Mostly cloudy for tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms with lows in the mid-60s. Early storms, then turning mostly sunny, less humid tomorrow, high near 80. Sunshine and dry weather continues on Sunday with highs in the low to mid-80s.
Right now it's 73.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be back from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in the world headquarters of Madison, taking a look at the weekend headlines and looking ahead to our next road trip with Jane Matinere. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday. A short week here for us at Nightlight as we go to best of episodes tomorrow and Friday and Monday as well. Conrad is taking he's taking Tuesday off too. He hates Tuesdays, but I'll be back Tuesday with the Rockin' Todd Michaels producing. That'll be fun. Tonight, we have Wendy Schneider coming on in the second hour, folks, to talk about a screening of her film, The Smart Studio Story. You have to see it if you haven't. And we will find out from Wendy where you can see it in terms of streaming. But she's going to be showing it, screening it at the beautiful new Atwood Music Hall in Madison next week. So we'll talk about this gem of a film she made and how you can find out more information. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite patriotic movie or song? And we'll get back to your texts after we talk to our pal, our good friend, Milwaukee film critic, who joins us now on the stream, Mr. Matt Miller. Hey, buddy.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, always fun. Do you have a favorite patriotic movie, Matt?
I really like Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yeah. I'm going old school. I love that one quite a bit. If we're talking modern movies, big fan of Top Gun Maverick. You know, that movie, as far as propaganda goes, it's very good propaganda.
It is. It's a kind of spine tingling. A lot of people talked about Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, Yankee Doodle Dandy. They were popping up all in these lists today. I have not seen Yankee Doodle Dandy, and if I did, I was very young. But
it's quite good. It's very, very jingoistic. But you know, you have a lead performance that good, you know, you're going to have a great time.
Absolutely. I was going to give a shout out to, and I guess I can do that with you here, Matt, too, because I don't know if you've been following Action Wisconsin's efforts, but I heard from my friend Nathan Deming today, who said that he was on the show a couple nights ago with Jeffrey Kurz, a fellow Milwaukeean, and apparently there was some good news today. I can't find the text from Nathan, but he said that something passed or something today, or they got it added. I know it's added or it's going to be up for debate, but I'm trying to find the...
Yeah, I know the tax credits are what you're talking about, the Wisconsin film and TV tax credits, which, you know, we'll see if this go around goes better than the last time. You know, I think, you know, it would help. It would definitely be a boon to local filmmakers and to our film industries and to the industries in the area.
Sure.
We have incredible places to film. There's no reason why people shouldn't want to film here. So it's just a great way to bring business to Wisconsin and also to give us opportunities to point at the screen and go, hey, that place is great.
Absolutely. It's a great it's obvious. It's an obvious choice pairing it with tourism because it's a great message and a great way to get our state out there. The press release said Action Wisconsin has an official press release about the film incentives getting voted on today. If this is worth commenting on at all, he said, would you give us a shout out? I said, sure. But I didn't hear anything about that. So I don't know. But I know it was looking good to pass, so I think Wisconsin's in good shape for that, at least.
Yeah, thus far pretty good, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
As we've seen in the news today, this past week, things getting passed left and right that we're all just super thrilled about, just nothing but W's down the board.
So why not an Action Wisconsin tax incentive?
It'd be nice to pass something that I'd be happy about.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be nice. Same, what would that be like?
Same here. All right. So, Matt, let's jump in. I'm very excited that you've seen a lot of the same films I have. What should we start with in the theater? Let's start with something that opened a couple weeks ago. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I thought it was maybe my favorite of the three. My wife loved it. And we're not really horror people, but it was just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
Yeah, it's a very odd movie, which honestly shouldn't be that surprising. It's Danny Boyle and Alex Garland. They don't tend to make traditional movies. Even 28 Days Later is now a part of horror lexicon, but people forget at the time, you know, the big third act of that movie that stops becoming a zombie movie was very confrontational for people. And so 28 years later is a really fascinating approach to this story where they're like, we're going to take some big swings. We're going to make this a coming of age story. We're going to like have this strange plot, like the story is going to be told almost in like two separate parts and boomerang back to this island. It's going to be shot entirely with iPhones, which means it's going to look absolutely vivid and gorgeous, but also still have this kind of digital fuzz to it.
Right.
So it feels like a sibling movie to 28 Days Later in that way. It's I think it's really great. It's only marinated better the more I've sat and thought about it. It's a very odd movie. I'm not surprised that it kind of had a tough second week fall off, because it's a horror movie. Horror movies always have a hard second weekend fall off. But also it is just, if you're expecting a traditional classic zombie movie, this is not that. It is much more of a coming of age story. And then you add the final 2 minutes to the movie, which are odd and very tonally at odds. And if you don't know that they're making two more movies, you're probably very thrown off with this kind of cliffhanger that the movie ends on. And if you're not British, you super don't know what's going on. But no, I think that's a pretty tremendous movie. And it's, like I said, it's one that's definitely stuck with me.
And I agree with you. I like how it's kind of evolved. It's not just about what I think is cool about this film is it's kind of dystopian or apocalyptic or whatever. At least that's how it started out. But now this rage virus has kind of morphed into something else. And there was a character that had the virus that had a baby in the film.
Yeah.
So it's like, wait a minute, they can reproduce. And then there's this alpha running around naked with a big prosthetic on. And it's like, that's the thing too. I don't know what is happening, but like
there's so much male nudity in this.
Yes.
Movie. There's so much nudity period in 28 years later. I'm kind of amazed it got through the MPAA and that's leaving out all the violence in the movie, which it is very much a traditional zombie movie. Like, it has got a lot of crazy zombie violence plus all of that nudity. It's wild that they got this one through, but it's been a success. And like you said, it's very unconventional how it goes at things, and that this is a movie about dealing with death while surrounded by death, you know?
Yeah.
Not many apocalyptic movies take a moment to think about like what death actually means to these people and how these things impact people. I think these guys, Boyle and Garland, are very good at world building. They're very good at smartly assembling a world and a society without kind of holding your hand through it. So you get this really fascinating 28 years later and the evolution of these zombies and the evolution of a Britain that has been isolated and collapsed. Make your own Brexit references here. It's a fascinating movie. And I think Ralph Fiennes, weirdly, I think this is one of his best performances.
That was cool.
He just shows up playing this like very unusual character that could totally be a misstep for the movie if played wrong.
Right.
And instead he feels like he was waiting forever to play this character. Feels so lived in. I really hope people still check it out. Especially because, like I said, we have a sequel coming next year and hopefully we have another one directed by Boyle and with Garland writing. I know they're talking about getting the funding together for that. And this has been enough of a hit that I think they'll make it happen. But I would love to see them wrap up this new trilogy that they're making.
It's so crazy because this is the third installment. This is the end of a trilogy and the beginning of a new one. And I agree, like Ralph Fiennes, like he's like this post-apocalyptic doctor who knows how to control these zombies. And he's got like this great bedside manner, like even though he's been living on this island by himself, or the mainland, I guess, technically. But just a real fun watch. I loved it.
Yeah, it's both. It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. And something, I mean, I didn't cry in the movie, but I know people who really got emotional near the end of this movie. And that's very fair. And yeah, I'm very excited to see where they keep taking this story of this collapsed society. It's kind of a new Mad Max in a way.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of excited by that. They're taking that approach to this instead of, you know, when we heard they were making another 28 Days Later movie, it's like, okay, is this just a cash-in? You know, are these guys just, is Danny Boyle just desperate to make another movie again, that he's going to go back to the well and make another zombie movie? And this is by no means just another zombie movie.
It's funny you say that. Like when you said people cried, I guess I had a moment. I didn't cry, but I was like, when the kid decides to go to the mainland himself, the film opens with his dad taking him there to do his first kill of a zombie. They make it back barely. That's a great scene too.
Yeah.
And then the kid decides to take his mother back to the mainland to get her medical
sick
help.
Mother, yeah.
Yeah. And it's that moment where I'm like, oh, the dad made a mistake. The kid's mad and he went back. I felt for the dad. As a dad, I'm like, oh dear, what a horrible mistake this guy would probably think he made if something had happened to the kid. But yeah, a lot of emotional stuff in the film. Really good movie.
It's a really fascinating movie about kind of the cycles of a society and, you know, that they've rebooted society and they're kind of making the same mistakes again, where they're all about kind of, you know, aggression and this masculine society that is resulting in, you know, it's really fascinating. And then he goes out with his mom and it's a much more kind of love and much more kind of thoughtful world that it could be, even in dark, horrible times. And again, I cannot also say this movie was mostly shot on iPhones and it looked obviously modified iPhones. And it looks unlike any movie you will see this year. It looks so crisp and so clean. Like the colors are so bright and there's shots, angles where the mainland of England looks like the largest landmass you've ever seen in your life and the greenest landmass you've ever seen in your life. It's just a really fascinating movie and one I hope people keep checking out.
Matt Miller is my guest. He is a film critic from Milwaukee. You can follow his Substack at A Man About Film. And Matt, I have to say, Jodie Comer is a great, before we move on, I love her. She is so good in everything I've seen her in. She was outstanding in this. And the other comment I want to make is I read that they shot this on iPhones a couple months ago, and that never even entered my mind while I was watching. I had completely forgotten that until you said that.
Yeah, it gives the, again, it has this vivid color as a result. You also have this digital kind of fuzz to the movie. It's not as clean as you expect from like a digital movie you see nowadays. And then also you get these insanely intimate shots because Danny Boyle did this on Slumdog Millionaire. He basically took apart the camera while they were filming that movie so they could get that camera anywhere they wanted to. They wanted to make it as flexible and as intimate as they could. And with an iPhone, obviously, even easier. So you get these really incredible close-ups where you get really close to people and you get this really cool depth of frame and just different vantage points. It doesn't look like many other movies out there, which is exactly what you would say about 28 Days Later 20 years ago.
Right.
So, yeah, impressive work. The cinematographer's name is Anthony Dodd-Mantle, and in a just world, I would love to see him get nominated for Best Cinematography at the Oscars, but this is a movie with this much zombie nudity and this much people getting their heads ripped off. Doesn't tend to be the kind of stuff the Oscars pay attention to.
I'm going to have to figure out a way to open up this can of worms on the show, but I have an issue with all these guys all of a sudden agreeing to be nude, but using prosthetics. It seems very unfair to women over the course of history in movies with all the TNA films and that. And it's like, and now guys are doing it. It's like, what are they so afraid of? You know, it's like this false sense of who men are or something. It's so ridiculous.
Well, if you want to, it is thematic in a way, the very notable male zombie nudity in the movie, because it is about, you know, this kind of hyper masculine, this kind of out, like these, you know, raging men first society. So if you want, you can say they're thematic nudity.
All right, fair enough. And the guy's like 7 feet tall too. Matt Miller is here. We're coming right back. I'm going to ask Matt what he thought of the new Brad Pitt film F1. It's Nightlight with Peach Schwab. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday, folks, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped 4 seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Peach Waba. We're doing the Wednesday thing here as we head into a holiday weekend. Hope everybody's having a great night. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite patriotic film or song? And on social media, Monica Hale says, my answer involves two films because they represent the war from both sides, Flags of Our Fathers and Letters from Iwo Jima. Wow, great. A lot of people going with the war stuff. I guess I could see that. It's the 4th of July. Matt, I chose...
kind of what America does.
Right? I chose The Sandlot. I went with something a little more childlike in The Wonder of Innocence, I guess.
Oh, yeah. That's not too... Yeah, that's a pretty good... It could have done The Natural, too. That's a real America-coded movie. Yeah.
Anything baseball, right, I guess.
Anything baseball, yeah.
Yeah.
Moneyball, the most American movie.
Oh, there. Yes. Absolutely. Matt Miller is my guest, folks. He is a Milwaukee film critic. Check out his work at A Man About Film on his Substack. Matt, he joins us frequently here to talk movies and TV, and we always have a blast. Matt, what did you think of F1?
F1 the movie. I had a really good time with F1 the movie. It is very much every sports movie cliche. You know, we talked about baseball. It is not only every sports movie cliche, it is underlining every single sports cliche that is in the movie. There's even like a journalist character whose entire job is just to be like, the last scene featured you in a depression meltdown. Did you also know that you're divorced and you're low on your payments and all this stuff? Just like, we get it. He's down on his luck. I've never seen this plot line before.
Right.
But the thing about these sports movie cliches, and the reason why they become cliches, is because they work.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we take for granted that some of these, you know, overused tropes become overused because when you do them right, when you have them well acted, well written with a little snap to them, well filmed by a director who's bringing some energy to the stuff, these things hit. These things really get your juice going. And so I had a good time with F1 the movie. I think they do a good job of making you care about not only Brad Pitt and his protege, but the entire Pitt crew. They kind of give everyone kind of like a dime's worth of character, which is frankly more than a lot of movies give their supporting characters. Right. I think the car racing scenes are thrilling and really excitingly captured. It's the director of Top Gun Maverick, and he's using a lot of the same tricks he used with that movie to really feel like, make you put you in the seat of these cars. I had a good time with it. It is a classic summer sports movie, the way that we kind of don't really get as much anymore.
You know, now that you say all that, I'm kind of not rethinking, but you're absolutely, maybe I was expecting too much, but I felt like you're right. The racing scene's amazing. The music was good, but it was wall to wall. I mean, this was this was a video, not really a movie. Like there's some character stuff. And I like what you said, like when they go into some of the minor characters, you get a dose of it. That's all you need. And the kid was good. Brad Pitt, I don't know. I like Brad Pitt, but I just, something didn't work for me. And you said Top Gun. I felt like that story was better than the story here. And maybe it was just because I have seen all of these kind of tropes before. It was like Bull Durham meets, Hoosier, not Hoosiers, that's a bad example, but it's like they took a little bit from every sports
movie.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's fun. And I'm being overly critical. It's a fun summer watch. And for the racing stuff alone, it's pretty exciting.
I don't think that's being overcritical. Like it is very cliche. It is very kind of trite in the story and the way it moves and stuff like that. You're not going to be surprised by much in this movie, but there is something very satisfying about a movie that knows how to set up bowling pins in terms of a story and knows how to knock them down well and knows how to get a strike. And that's kind of what this is. It is very flashy, but when it comes to the story, it is profoundly not flashy, but they save the flash for the kind of exciting parts. And then you've got really good stars. And also, I got to say, Carrie Condon, just a charmer and
she's
a half.
Great.
She is the female lead of the movie, and she is so charming. And I honestly think she helped. Their romance is kind of one of the weaker points of the movie, just because it feels very much like checked that off the sports movie cliche list.
Exactly.
But she sells it because you're like, yeah, I get immediately falling in love with this person. She's so charming and so fun in this movie. So I agree. This isn't a top five Brad Pitt performance by any means, but he's a movie star. He is one of those people who, when he's on screen, you're like, I want to see what you're up to.
Right.
And that is what this movie needs. And for that, it delivers. Again, if it gets nominated for Best Picture, we had a bad year at the movie.
Right.
But if you're looking at, you know, a good time at the summer summer box office, I think F1 is a really nice, good time. It's a good dad movie.
That's very well said. And who I liked, who I almost forgot was in it, was Javier Bardem ups the level of, he was great.
Every single line he delivers is like maximum scene stealer. And not in a way where you're like, okay, pump the brakes, buddy. Like there's other people in this movie. He just shows up with so much charisma. He did the same thing in Dune Part 2. Man, that movie, you get your money's worth per second he is on screen. He's so good.
Yeah.
And again, a role that could be totally boring and generic. And he just brings so much life to it. And that's kind of F1 in a nutshell. Could have been totally generic, especially as a brand movie, especially in a movie that is a 2.5 hour long advertisement for F1 racing. I think they do a very good job of making it not feel generic, not feel sanded down. It feels energetic. It's got some juice.
Absolutely. All right, Matt Miller is here, folks. We're gonna keep Matt through the news because he is watching a TV show that you have to hear about. I've watched the first episode, and I trust Matt's opinion so much, I'm going to go back to it. It's not that I didn't like it, but it's not my typical show, but I am going to go back to it based on Matt's critiquing of the show. We'll talk about that after the news, and we'll get a little July preview of what's coming up at the box office as well with our pal Matt Miller. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. The Air India crash report released to the public, 260 people killed seconds after takeoff. The report says that just 3 seconds after takeoff, the fuel cutoff switches for both engines went from the run position to the cutoff position. They then went back to the run position 10 seconds later, but the engines couldn't recover in time. Discussion between U.S. and NATO officials about a possible plan to provide Ukraine with aerial defense weapons, including Patriots. The U.S. would sell them to NATO, which would then provide them to Ukraine. President Trump and the First Lady visiting the devastation in Kerrville, Texas, after the deadly flooding in the state.
The people here, first responders, the sheriff's office, all of the police, law enforcement, they've done an unbelievable job.
At least 121 people have died. The State Department.